read to you today from Matthew chapter 16, beginning with verse 19. Jesus says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Now, one question we could ask as we look at this portion of Scripture is, where's your heart? Now, that one's easy to answer. Your heart is wherever your treasure is. Our heart needs to be where our treasure is. It will be where our treasure is. And so we want to title our message today in the form of that question, where is your treasure? Now, first of all, what is a treasure? Treasure doesn't necessarily mean a bank account. Doesn't necessarily mean a retirement plan. Doesn't necessarily mean those things that you buy with your money. That is, it doesn't necessarily mean a nice home, an expensive car, or any other one item of value. But your treasure is anything that's valuable to you. As far as Jesus is concerned with here, it's talking about that which is most valuable. And the concern is not with what it is. The concern is, which is priority? Which do you value most? Earthly things or heavenly things? Is your priority and your desire to be happy with the affairs of this life, with your success here in your career or in any other secular thing? Or is your treasure, that is what you value, having righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost? Amen. If you're not happy this morning, the reason you're not is because heaven, heavenly things, is not your treasure. That's a very easy question to answer. I'm not discounting the different trials that we have. We go through some severe trials in this life, and I believe I've been through enough that I can understand that. And I know that when you go through trials, even if you've been seeking first the kingdom of God, that there are still many struggles. But ultimately, in the long run, the main thing that will bring happiness and keep you happy is making the things of heaven your treasure, what you value the most. Because Jesus says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The word heart there is used to describe the very center of man. It's describing your core, your innermost person. Your heart is who you are. It's your life and your thoughts. And therefore is to be placed on the right thing. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. And wherever your heart is, that's where your life is, your thoughts are, your values are, and that's where you're going to derive either joy or sadness. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, it doesn't matter whether you agree with this or not. It's the truth. And if you have a problem with it, your problem is not with me. Your problem is with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I want us to ask the question this morning, in light of the fact that Jesus says, if you lay up your treasures upon earth, you've lain up treasures that moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, that is, they're perishable. They're temporary. They can be ruined. They can be lost. They can be taken away. You know, even if your priority is physical fitness, your appearance, even that can perish and will perish. The older you get, the more it will perish. And that which was so important to you is no longer priority. In other words, it can't bring what it once brought. Does that mean we shouldn't be physically fit? No. I often would that I was in better condition than I am. This doesn't mean we're not concerned about those things. But ultimately, if you ever find yourself old and alone, there's only one source of joy, and that's the Lord. And no matter what you go through in this life, that's the only unperishable thing that can't be taken away from you. So let's ask the question, how do you lay up treasures in heaven? And of course, the idea here is this. While you live in this world, you can value the things of this world, or you can value the things of heaven while you're in this world. You can't improve your inheritance in heaven. You thank the Lord, you can't tarnish that. You can't do anything to damage that. So the idea here has to do with life here. And while you're living in this world, you can either build your hopes and dreams on worldly things, earthly things, or you can build your life on heavenly things, spiritual things, things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, the first thing you can do to lay up treasures in heaven is to plan to do so. You say, brother, buddy, that seems strange to answer the question that way. Why should we approach our spiritual life and our concern for the kingdom of God, why should we approach that in a different way than we do anything else that's important? You know why you're going to be at work on time tomorrow? You plan to be, and it's important, and you realize there's consequences. Why are you going to make your mortgage payment and the bank's not going to take your house? Because you plan to. Now, this is a side note, but isn't it interesting that we can fail to approach the most important budget item with the least concern? Your most important budget item is giving to the church. See, somebody says, well, brother, buddy, we don't believe in tithing. No, we don't believe in mandating what the members give, but that doesn't mean we swerve over into the other ditch and say, as an afterthought during the handshake, just say, well, should I give something to the church today? See, that's the other extreme. What you ought to do, it's a self-discipline. Whenever you receive your paycheck, your priority is to have planned and budgeted with all your other expenses what you're going to give to the church and write that check first. And I'd suggest you write it before you calculate how everything else is going to work out. Go ahead and write it first. God will honor your finances if he's first. And according to Haggai, he'll blow up on them. He'll put them in bags with holes in them if you're not seeking him first. But with regard to laying up treasures in heaven, the first thing to do is plan. Look at Luke chapter 14 and verse 28. And all these references are from the things that Jesus said. Luke 14, 28. For which of you intending to build a tower? Let's just say a house. Not many of us build towers. A lot of people build houses. He says, which of you intending to build a house sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Now you would be a fool if you didn't do that. You would be a fool to get out here and say, no, I don't know how much money we have. I don't know what we can afford. All I know is what I want. And that's the only factor. You're going to get in trouble, aren't you? Who builds a house without sitting down first and counting the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish? Lest haply, that means lest otherwise, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. I remember years ago, as you would drive down I-75 in Florida, there was a very large building or warehouse, I'm not sure what it was, that was being built. They laid a nice foundation. They erected some of the steel beams. And then they stopped. I would drive down the road years later and, you know, bushes and trees were growing up all around it. I don't know what the reason was. But they started it and didn't finish it. And you know what? It was of no value. You start out in the kingdom of God, and I'm talking about making it a priority. You start out making it a priority and then you quit. Those blessings don't pour over into the rest of your life. You know, we've got to keep going. A good soldier of Jesus Christ must keep fighting the battle. And the Word of God has every answer to every problem you have this morning. And you're sitting there this morning and you're thinking about some of the problems in your life. Here's all the answers. And there's corrections that can be made in any area of life if you apply this Word. Jesus says, or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000, or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. Sometimes we don't think the Word of God is really relevant because we're not interpreting it correctly. Jesus is not saying get rid of everything you own. What he's saying here when he says, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. He's saying essentially the same thing that I believe it was the Apostle Paul who said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. That's what he's talking about. When he talks about here of selling all that you have, he's talking about those things that would beset you. Whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. How is it with you right now? You see, I'm going to try to get this as down to earth as I can. How is it with you right now? With this meeting, did you plan to come to this meeting? How long have you known? I know I'm getting mean, but I'm leaving today. How long have you known about this meeting? I think about 100 years, haven't you? For 100 years, you've been having this meeting on this particular weekend. And you know what? At the beginning of 2019, what you should have done, now I didn't do this to myself on paper, but if you can't do it in your mind, do it on paper. At the beginning of 2019, take your calendar and mark through these dates, Piney Groves meeting. And before you use vacation time to plan to go to Gulf Shores in the summer, your first time to ask off is Piney Grove meetings. If this is not your treasure, you're thinking I'm crazy. If it is your treasure, that's what you want to do. You know, I'm not bragging by saying this at all. But most all of my vacation time is pertaining to the kingdom of God. You say, brother, buddy, you're a preacher. You may not need to use as much vacation time as I do, but if you're prioritizing the things of the kingdom of God, you will need to use some of it. Maybe it's just a day to help get ready for the meeting. That'll help you enjoy the meeting more, won't it? You say, well, I got to work till late Friday night. Well, right now, I don't know what the date is, tomorrow when you go to work, go ahead and ask off for the Friday or the Thursday before this meeting. I think, you know, a year's notice, you probably can get it, can't you? Jesus says you have to plan. You have to plan. Now, secondly, not only do we need to plan, we need to prioritize. Look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. Matthew 10, 37. Jesus says, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me." Now notice he does not say, "He that loveth father or mother more than me can't be as good of a disciple." He says he's not worthy of me. Now, the Bible teaches you to honor your parents. When you're a child, you're to obey your parents with respect and honor. When you're an adult, you're to honor your parents. When your parents are disabled, and if it's necessary for them to go to the nursing home, they are still your responsibility to oversee. See, there's nothing wrong with taking advantage of care like that, as long as you're not just throwing them away into that system. You still have the attitude, this is my parent and it's my job to take care of them. It's just I can't physically handle it at this point. But I'm going to be there regularly to check on them and make sure things are going well.
Amen.
We should love our parents and honor them. What Jesus is saying here when he says, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me," again, he's talking about priority. Let me just give you a good example. And I don't know who this might hit, but just know if it's hitting you, I don't know it's hitting you. What do you do when you have a family reunion on Sunday? What do you do? Do you say, "Well, we can't go to church today, we got a family reunion"? I realize there are things that from time to time it's necessary that we miss attending the house of God on Sunday. I realize that, and we shouldn't have some legalistic rule about the matter. So let's change that a little bit. This will get the point across better. What if you have company or family spending the night at your house? Not a family reunion, they're just there visiting, spending the night. You know what you can do? You can get up and say, Y'all make yourselves at home. We're going to church. You're welcome to go with us. But if you prefer not to go, we'll be back in 3 or 4 hours. Make yourself at home. Tell them where the food is. Just say relax, take it easy. Watch television. We'll be back in a few hours. Isn't that easy? And that makes it priority with you. It's easy to do things God's way. Yes. It's easy. If it's your treasure. Right. If it's your treasure. Brother Kenneth and I were talking about this morning about, and it's certainly just as bad at Alabama football games, but you know, people that live up north, like the Green Bay Packers fans, you know, people up there in the cold, they'll pay hundreds of dollars to sit in the cold and wrap themselves up with 3 or 4 blankets to be miserable. You know why? That's their treasure. You don't mind suffering for your treasure. Not at all. There was a day when people didn't mind sitting on slat pews. You know, just a board here and a board in your back, and they were not comfortable. There was a time when they didn't have air conditioning. There was a time when people stood outside the windows to hear preaching. You know why? That was their treasure. That's what I want more than anything else. So it's to be not only something we plan, something we prioritize. But notice in Matthew chapter 16, and this really gets down to what really has to change in us. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 25. Jesus said, for whosoever, and it'll do you good to believe this, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That has nothing to do with going to hell. What shall a man be profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Now I want you to listen to this. What are you willing to pay to get your soul back? You say, Brother Buddy, I haven't lost my soul. Primitive Baptists don't believe you can lose your soul. The reason there are so many hollow people, the reason the suicide rate is so high, they have lost their soul. And what I mean by that is they've lost everything worth enjoying this side of heaven. Notice what Jesus says. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Here's what he's talking about. When I graduated from college, I did some interviews, and most of the guys that worked there were buying Corvettes, single young engineers. You know, they were living the life. If you prioritize things like that above the kingdom of God, above worshiping the Lord, above being at a place where you can bring your children up in a healthy spiritual environment, you've taken the first step of losing your soul. Whosoever will save his life, in other words, if I say, man, I'm going to enjoy my life, it's time to think about me. That's what Jesus is saying that's the person who's trying to save their life. It's about me. Here's what I want to do. This is what I'm going to do. That's who he's talking about. That's the person trying to save their life, and the person doing that is going to lose it. Where are they going to lose it at? They're going to lose it at church. They're going to lose it in their marriage. They're going to lose it with their children. They're going to lose life. Twice in the book of Proverbs, at least twice, it says, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Oh, how true that is. I remember my parents growing up during the Depression, and I've heard many say this. They said, we were poor, but we didn't know we were poor because everybody was poor, and we were happy. They didn't have sense enough to know they ought not to be happy. But you know, we've got everything, and we're unhappy. No matter what you get, that you eventually that's no longer new, or it's not the one that you really want, whether it's a car or a house, or husband or wife. It's not the one I really want. It's not the one that can make me happy. I want to enjoy my life. I want what I want. You're losing your life. You're losing your soul. Jesus said, what is a man profited if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? You know, we don't know who's a child of God and who is not. And we're not to judge people in that manner. But we do need to recognize people that are ungodly and not associate with them. We're to at least do that. But you know, I often think of this. There are a number of prominent politicians in Washington that according to Bible statistics, which are true, are near the very end of this life, of their life in this world. But they're still trying to save their life. They're still trying to save themselves, and they've lost it. And if they're children of God, they're so hollow they don't even know it. Could you imagine being 80 years old and still fighting politically to pass ungodly legislation? Is there, you know, I hope that all I would think about is my life's almost over and I want to fear the Lord and honor Him. I don't think it crosses their mind. Jesus says, what is you profited if you shall gain the whole world and lose your own soul? What did Hitler profit? He tried to gain the whole world. That was his goal. He gained some of it. He said that this empire will stand for hundreds of years. Just stood a few years. Ended up committing suicide. Why? He tried to save his life, and if he had a soul, he lost it. That's not up to me to decide. He lost it. You know why he committed suicide? Because the things that meant something to him were gone, and he knew they were gone. That's why. Jesus says, what does a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for your soul? Now that ought to at least encourage us from the standpoint, I can get my soul back. You can get it back. I don't care how hollow you feel, how sinful you feel, how much you feel like you've disappointed the Lord, you can get it back just like that. If you'll just get on your knees and say, Lord, I've prioritized other things. Other things have been my treasure. And I know I've slowly lost that love and joy that I had at one time in the kingdom of God. And if you'll get on your knees and say, Lord, have mercy upon me and help me to change, right that moment in sincere repentance, it will start coming back. Don't go through another day with a sense of being hollow and just bland and indifferent. Jesus says, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What are you willing to give? All of us still have some things we need to give. I could buy a lot more of my soul back if I'd give up a lot more of my life. But all I know is when I'm in the kingdom of God with the Lord's people in fellowship, that's the happiest I am. You know, I remember coming, before we left to come down here, I remember saying, Lord, why can't I be this happy all the time? You ever felt that way? Man, why can't I just feel this way? You know, and I still feel okay. You know, everything's all right. But, man, I wish I could just be at that level all the time. But, you know, no matter how much we try to serve the Lord, there are things that are going to hit us and bring us down. And we're going to start thinking about, well, why am I not as well off as they are? You know, I've sacrificed. And, you know, Satan's going to mess with you all the time. But let us seek first the kingdom of God, and everything you need will be added unto you.